Now it's going. All right. All right. We're going to do this again. Welcome, everybody, to the February open office hours with one of our functional nutrition coaches. And this month, we are very lucky and privileged to hear from Drina Brown. And Drina will be sharing more details about her background and what brought her here and what she's doing and what she's going to teach you. I can tell you that Drina is one of those people that, you know, like we were talking here right before this, she has a presence. And I appreciate her quiet strength. And I feel that we all can draw on that as we need to. And so Drina is going to be talking to us about, this is your second or third year being a coach.
This is my second year. Last year I was just a small group coach, and this year I was brought into the ERC program as an individual and group coach. So yeah, so this is actually for both sides, my first year, but second year with small group.
Okay, so there, we know that by being a private coach that she is gracing us with even more of her presence. And Drina also lives in the Colorado area. I'm not going to say Denver area because, you know, Colorado is a big state. Yeah.
Yeah, western slope of Colorado.
Yeah, not everybody lives in Denver that lives in Colorado. Yes, she is wonderful, Jeannie. And so in her topic today, Drina is going to be teaching us more about this quiet strength and presence that she has and how you can cultivate that for yourself. So on that note, Drina, take it away.
Okay, so I'm going to close my video and I'm going to pull up a PowerPoint program so that all of you have, you know, some slides to look at. And if you decide you would like these slides, then I'm sure Lynn or I have a way of emailing them out. So,
well, they'll become a part of the recording.
Okay. Super good. All right. So let me see. I'm going to screen share PowerPoint presentation. I'm going to stop my video, okay, so that I can concentrate, and I'm going to start the slideshow. Okay, there we go. All right, so as you can see, what is your mind telling your brain to do? These are, you know, we're all connected, right? So our mind tells our brain what to do, which tells our body what to do. So what is your brain and your body doing with your thoughts? So with knowing that our mind and our brain are connected and speaking to each other, that means that those thoughts then affect the rest of our body. So the things that we're going to be talking about is the debate in science about the mind and the brain, and the mind and how it is designed to control our body, the choices that we have that are real, and that we are all neuroplasticians. We don't require a medical degree in order to be this. The conscious and the non-conscious mind. The DNA that changes shape in response to our thoughts. The stages of stress. And the building good minds, building good brains. And that then reflects on good bodies. So the debate in science. The first argument proposes that thoughts come from your brain as though your brain is generating all aspects of your mental experience. People who hold this view are called materialists. They believe that it is the chemicals and the neurons that create the brain, and that the relationship between our thoughts and what you do can just be ignored. Essentially, the perspective is that the brain creates what you are doing and what you are thinking. For example, the treatment of depression in this view would be that depression is a chemical imbalance of the machine-like brain. Therefore, it is treated with replacing it with missing chemicals. The second and correct way, the brain does the bidding of the mind because we are thinking beings. We think all day long. And at night, as we sleep, we sort out our thinking. As you think, you choose. And as you choose, you cause genetic expression to happen in your brain. This means that you make proteins, and these proteins form your thoughts. Thoughts are real, physical things that occupy mental real estate. Dr. Eric Kandel is a Nobel Prize-winning neuropsychiatrist known for his work on memory and shows how our thoughts, even our imaginations, get under the skin of our DNA and can turn certain genes on and certain genes off, thus changing the structure of the neurons in the brain. So as we think and imagine, we change the structure of our brain. He was pretty amazing with his research. The mind, as you can see, this tree just totally shows where all of our thoughts go. So our mind is designed to control the body, of which the brain is a part of. Matter does not control us. We control matter through our thinking and choosing. We don't control circumstances of life, but we do control our reactions. We can control our reactions to anything, and when we do, we change the very structure of our brain. What you are empowered to do with your mind is more powerful and effective than any medication, any treatment, any sickness, any neurological challenge. We are not bound by the physical. We are in control of that. We control the physical. All right, we are all neuroplasticians. What is neuroplasticity? It is the brain's ability to reorganize itself by forming new neural connections throughout life. Plasticity allows the neurons or the nerve cells in the brain to compensate for injury, disease, and to adjust their activities in response to new situations or change in their environment. When change occurs in the brain, it engages a synaptic pruning, deleting the neural connections that no longer are necessary or useful, and strengthen the necessary ones. 5 ways to increase and harness the power of neuroplasticity. Get enough sleep to reset your brain connections that are important for learning and memory. It is important to keep learning and moving. Reduce stress, find a strong purpose for your life, and read for stimulation of the brain. How does it rewire your brain? Neuroplasticity refers to the lifelong capacity of the brain to change and rewire itself in response to stimulation of learning and experience. Neurogenesis is the ability to create new neurons and connections between neurons throughout a lifetime. We have the ability to rewire experiences that have happened to us and turn them, if negative, into positive experiences. It is important to us for the brain's ability to modify its connections and rewire itself. Without this, any brain, not just the human brain, would be unable to develop from infancy to adulthood or recover from a brain injury. The choices. You are free to make choices about how you focus your attention. This affects how the chemicals and proteins and the wiring of the brain change and function. Scientists are proving the relationship between what you think and how you understand yourself has a huge impact on how your brain works. This includes your beliefs, your dreams, your hopes, and your thoughts. Choosing has mental real estate around the front of the brain. It increases many circuits that start from the basal forebrain in between your eyebrows and extends back across the frontal lobe. It is capable of a wide array of functions, and it is connected to all other parts of the brain. It is also where connections from all other parts of the brain converge. Specifically, circuits go to structures like the insula, the corpus callosum, the anterior and posterior central gyrus, basal ganglia, and many more. This allows the frontal lobe to integrate and manage activities in other parts of the brain. Research has shown that from 75 to 98% of mental, physical, and behavioral illnesses come from a person's thought life. This leaves only 2 to 25% of mental and physical illnesses to come from environment and genetics. That's astounding. The conscious mind and the non-conscious mind. The conscious mind includes such things as sensations, perceptions, memories, feelings, fantasies inside our current awareness. The conscious mind involves all the things that you are currently aware of and thinking about. It is somewhat akin to the short-term memory and is limited in terms of capacity. Your awareness of yourself and the world around you are a part of the conscious mind. The conscious mind is connected to the pre-conscious, which includes things that we are not thinking about at the moment, but we can access easily and draw into conscious awareness. For example, you might not be presently thinking about how to do long division, remembering phone numbers or your social security number, but you can access the information and bring it into your conscious awareness. It is the part that corresponds to the ordinary memory. The preconsciousness acts like a gatekeeper between the conscious and the unconscious parts of the brain. It allows only certain pieces of information to pass through and enter the conscious awareness. The non-conscious mind, however, is the processing activity that we do on a very real and active unconscious level. These are thoughts and memories that we have implanted into our non-conscious minds over time. We choose to add our own unique perception based on these implanted thoughts that form our point of view. On our way to verbalization or action, we perform. In other words, what we say and do is based on what we have already built in our mind. We evaluate this information and make our choices based on this information. Then we choose to build a new thought, and this drives what we say and do. The brain activity seen in brain imaging is not the result of a machine-like activity. It is built up on the moment of consciousness. The activity of a network of neural circuits that begin to prepare for an up-and-coming decision long before it enters our awareness. It is intellectualizing what is happening in the non-conscious mind. I love to say, as I think in my heart, so I shall be. We are not driven by forces beyond our conscious control. We are accountable for every thought and decision we make. We are highly intelligent beings with a free will to choose our thoughts and our actions. Our thoughts and our DNA. We create signals that pass through the membrane of the cell and travel to the cell's nucleus and enter into the chromosome, which activates a strand of DNA. The DNA is zipped up like a little cocoon until activated or unzipped by a signal. The cocoon also protects the DNA from the rest of the intracellular environment while in an inert state. The zipped up DNA has to be opened so that the appropriate genetic code needed to build the protein can be read. As it is opened and the code is read, the RNA makes a photocopy of the code, which serves as a guide to build proteins with the insides of the cell. This is called genetic expression. The signal that unzips the DNA is initially from outside the DNA and are called epigenetic phenomena, meaning signals that control the genes. When there is interference with this signal, like toxic thoughts, negative talk, eating unhealthy foods, genetic expression doesn't happen correctly, and proteins don't form like they should. So for every toxic thought, the protein looks different than that of a positive, healthy thought. These signals are electromagnetic and chemical because there is an electromagnetic and chemical component to every biological process in our body. These signals can come from the environment inside the body. It can come from the emotional, the biochemical, the mental, the energetic, the spiritual, and the thought networks of our brain. They can also come from environmental sources outside the body, like food and toxins, social networks, and the amount of nurturing. Research shows that 90% of genes in the DNA are working with signals from outside and inner sources also. The switch gene. Kandel discovered that we have a switch gene called the Krebs gene, which we choose to turn on in our thoughts. As information in the form of electromagnetic and chemical signals move toward the front part of the brain, it becomes amplified and highly active. This stimulates the release of specialized proteins inside the cell. Turning on the Krebs gene, which acts like a light switch that we choose to turn on and off by our thoughts, the Krebs gene then activates genetic expression. At that point, we grow protein branches that hold our memories, which can also be our thoughts. So when we choose to switch on the Krebs gene because of the thoughts, we allow it to permeate our brain, protein synthesis happens. Scientists are discovering precise pathways by which humans thinking operates as signals that activate genetic expression. This produces changes in our brain, in our body. Our genetic makeup fluctuates by the minute based on what we are thinking and choosing. Thoughts change our DNA. DNA changes the shape according to our thoughts. So as you think negative thoughts about yourself, the future, that toxic thinking will change the brain wiring in a negative direction and throw your mind and body into stress. This happens when we let the mind wander in thought and presume actions or thoughts of others in the absence of concrete evidence. In accordance to Dr. Herbert Benson, negative thinking leads to stress, which affects our body's natural healing capacity. Negative thinking wears down the brain. The Institute of Heart Math showed that thinking and feeling anger, fear, and frustration causes DNA to change shape according to the thoughts and feelings. The DNA responded by tightening up and becoming shorter, switching off many DNA codes which reduce quality expression. We shut down with negative emotions. However, the DNA codes are reversed with feelings of love, joy, appreciation, and gratitude. We are born to operate in the love zone. The myths and the truths. Myths and truths have been made out to be responsible for feelings, spirituality, beliefs, and even things like enjoyment of music, all human behavior, human affairs, human relationships, and social problems. Genetic disposition has become entrenched in popular culture to the extent that phrases like "she has good genes" or "he was born that way." This kind of thinking takes choice and accountability out of the equation. Genes determine physical characteristics, not psychological phenomena. Genes are constantly being remodeled in response to life experiences. Dr. Gail Ironson found that there was a significant increase in healing for HIV patients that had a positive belief in a higher power, a loving God. These who had this belief had increased T helper cells. Those who didn't had a decrease. This study ran for 4 years on HIV patients. Our thoughts play a huge role in genetic expression. We are designed to create thoughts, and from these, we live out our lives. Whatever you believe in and hope for becomes substance in the physical level, and you act upon it. This can move in either direction, positive or negative. How does stress affect our DNA? Well, this is our adrenal, portion here in the program for ERC and NEPT and all of that. Stage one is normal. This is our alert state that keeps us focused and conscious. In this state, we are in alignment with love and appreciation and gratitude. In stage two and three, our mind and body's response to toxic thinking. Normal stress gone wrong. Even a little bit of these negative levels of stress for a little bit of toxic thinking has consequences for mental and physical health. The dictionary defines stress, a condition typically characterized by symptoms of mental and physical tension or strain, such as depression or hypertension, that can result from a reaction to a situation in which a person feels threatened or pressured. Synonyms of stress include anxiety, nervousness, fearfulness, apprehensiveness, impatience, tenseness, and restlessness. Reaction is the key word here. We cannot control circumstances, but we control how we react. These are really great examples of what to do less of and what to do more of. I say laugh in the face of adversity, but we need to do a whole lot less junk food, a whole lot less sitting around, late nights and not getting enough rest, watching TV till bed, and that includes being on the computer, frowning, talking without reason, complaining, negativity, arguing, worrying, and taking from the world rather than giving. We need to do more of real food and walking, rest, reading, smiling, listening, encouraging, gratitude, understanding, praying, and giving. And giving can be anything. Giving away the things that you don't need and giving away yourself and the thought, your thoughts and your smile. It can be anything. The foods for the brain and the memory. Foods that feed the brain are like cold water fish and algae oil. They reduce brain decline and impairs depression. Blueberries, full of anthocyanins that are anti-inflammatory and have antioxidants. This fights against oxidative stress. Turmeric improves memory, clears amyloid plaque, improves serotonin and dopamine, boosts brain-deprived neurotrophic factor, which is a type of growth hormone that helps the brain cells grow. Broccoli, high in vitamin K, which is essential for forming sphingolipids that are densely packed into brain cells. It is anti-inflammatory and antioxidant effects. Pumpkin seeds, excellent source of zinc, iron, magnesium, and copper that are all good for the brain. Zinc is crucial nerve signaling. Magnesium for learning and memory, migraines and depression and epilepsy. Copper to help control nerve signals, and iron for brain fog and impaired brain function. Dark chocolate contains antioxidant plant compounds that enhance memory and slow down aging. Nuts. Nuts have been shown to improve heart health. Having a healthy heart has been linked to a healthy brain. They improve cognitive and prevent neurodegenerative diseases. Oranges prevents mental decline and fights off free radical damage brain cells. Sunflower lecithin, also known as the plant source of choline, the fat for the brain. Choline feeds all the brain and most importantly, the myelin sheaths on the nerve endings that control brain and nerve function. And green tea improves alertness, performance, memory, and focus. It has L-theanine, which is an amino acid that can cross the blood-brain barrier and increase the activity of neurotransmitter GABA, which helps reduce anxiety and makes you more relaxed. L-theanine is also increases the alpha waves in the brain. The alpha waves create focus and creativity, stress release, and relaxation. It is also rich in polyphenols and antioxidants that may protect the brain from mental decline. What are you going to choose? The body achieves that the mind believes. So the way I see it, our choice for love and joy, appreciation and gratitude can reverse DNA genetic coding. Positive thoughts about yourself and others, believing the best before you criticize, finding a word for the day to focus on with positive energy, saying sweet things to yourself and believing it can change not only your gene expression, but your facial expression. However, the choice for poor quality decisions and engaging in toxic thoughts like unforgiveness, bitterness, irritation, ungratefulness, rage, hate can change the shape of your brain and the wiring is sent to a negative direction. It only takes 3 days of thinking those thoughts for it to set up a deteriorative part of your brain. This puts the brain in protective mode and stress then floods the body and we become in fight and flight mode. It causes disease in the body at a much quicker rate. So what are you choosing to think about yourself and others? What do you need to work on right now in your thought life? What word would you choose today for your positive thought? Can you make your changes based on what you know now? If you choose anything, choose whatever creates life. Remember, you have 2 eyes and 2 ears and 1 mouth. So this means you can stop, look around, see what's real, hear and listen to the truth, and speak in love. And these are my references here. So I'm going to stop sharing. I'm going to come back. Oh, there I am. So What do you think? Anybody have any comments that they want to express?
I think just from observing what people were sharing, it's, you know, we all hear about saying good words and things like this, but to show that there's physical proof of how this internal conversation affects us, you know, it's not just words that are floating around. They're words that show up in our body, in our health. And I think that was really what we all probably needed to hear or rehear to remember.
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, as we look back over our lives, we can remember as children just about every negative thing that was spoken over us, and none of the positive things. Even in a rare case, are we going to remember what that positive thought word was? And so I even think that as we have those things come up, as you work through searching yourself, that you can take those things and you negate them off of your life. You know, you take them away because you can say, no, that those things aren't true. And this is how I feel about me. You know, we have to change those negative thoughts that we even feel about ourselves, because we don't normally think negative things about ourselves unless they've already been spoken out and we received it. So it's not something that our mind or that we just come up with. You know, it's more what's been spoken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know I personally feel like before dis-ease shows up in our physical body, it's already been happening in our spiritual body. Mm-hmm. And this, again, now we've got science to back that up. It's not just, at least what I get called is that crazy hippie woman.
Yeah.
I boldly wear my hippie badge.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's important for all of us to search back over ourselves. I mean, even our simple things. Oh, I am insane. Oh, I am just those simple little things that we don't even realize that we say can build up and build up over time and create genetic expression in our bodies. We don't even realize how important it is that we speak out, so that we can even hear ourselves speak it. How important that is.
I was talking to somebody earlier today, and one of her major goals is weight loss. But she kept saying, it's so hard for me to lose weight. Why is it so hard for me to lose weight? And I said, I tell you what if we say, what if, you know, when I speak with you and when you speak with yourself, that you say, I am losing weight just so easily. It's just flowing off of me and keeping in ways that are keeping me healthy. And it might feel awkward at first, because I sure know it does for me. But after a while, it feels really good.
Mm-hmm. That's right. We don't have to have others speak out those things. We need to speak them to ourselves, because that is what we're created to do. We're created to love ourselves.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we have to create that love mind. I mean, that love connection. And it's that connection with ourselves. What brings us that joy? You know, comes the gut-brain connection. You know, how much serotonin can our gut produce, because our mind is then speaking to our body in love. You know, it rolls around and rolls around like a big sweeping circle.
Well, and if you think about it too, if you have thoughts like these that you give to yourself, and maybe you also hear them from other people, it creates stress. Mm-hmm. And what does stress do to you, right? And so that, again, like you said, produces that whole chemical reaction.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. Yeah. So I hope this has helped
Yeah. Okay. Well, and then you included food.
Think about it anyway.
Then you included food. Can you go back to the slides that had the list of foods? I know there was blueberries because I always recommend some blueberries at least to try out when people have had head injuries.
Okay, let me go back. I think I need to start screen sharing again in order to do that.
There you go. Kate, you say nuts, and somebody was wondering any particular type of nuts.
You know, most of them are going to be more omega-3 and 6 balancing are going to be your better ones. So that's going to be like walnuts, you know, hemp seeds. Now, I didn't put seeds down here, but hemp seeds are, you know, high on that list as far as being a balanced omega-3, 6. But I think that any of the nuts, like let's say almonds increase vitamin D2. Well, that's going to help us in our liver. That's going to help us with our brain. You know, so there's some that are like not directly particularly related to exactly the brain, but they're related in some circulating way.
Yeah. And Diana had asked specifically because of that 3-6 ratio.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things too with almonds is they're a good source of vitamin E, which is good for brain and brain age related things. And then hazelnuts as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, I think that each nut has a individual good thing. I think macadamia nuts are phenomenal. You know, and super creamy and delicious in fats. But one of the things that stands out, you know, a lot for me here is sunflower lecithin. You know, for many of us, we don't eat eggs because of the inflammatory factors, but this sunflower lecithin is a big deal for people who have APOE4/4, who don't digest their fats very well. You know, this is an emulsifier for the liver. And it can really create for the myelin sheath that barrier, that rebuilding of the fattening of those cells, and the fact that our cells within our body have that fat layer, and they're made of choline. You know, so in order to feed even the energy for our cells, for them to be able to carry the nutrients, we need that fat to be really saturated.
Well, and that's such a great point because sometimes we do get a little fat phobic. And even, especially if we have high cholesterol, but fat surrounds our heart. And so it's needed. It's kind of a fuel. It's a protection. So you don't have to fear it.
That's right. That's right. So anybody else have any comments? Come on, Jay, pipe in. You always have something to offer.
I had a question, Dorina.
Okay, Jeannie.
On the green tea, I used to do that a lot, and I took it out because of my genes saying that I shouldn't do caffeine, mm-hmm. especially coffee. And so is there enough in the green tea, like, are there more benefits or, you know, I just wasn't sure which way to go on that.
Well, with you, Jeannie, because of your history, mm-hmm. I think that I would consider that anything with caffeine in it isn't going to be for you. Okay. So, you know, this isn't, we're all bioidentical individuals. And so we can't take this list and say, oh, everything on this list is going to be for me. So let's just say, like, if I were going to say, oh, I'm going to have blueberries, but I have incredibly high blood sugar, or I have really, really big time blood sugar problems and very sensitive to fruit sugars, that's not going to be for me.
Right.
Okay. So I would say that green tea, I would get my polyphenols from somewhere else.
Okay.
I would get my antioxidants from somewhere else because there's plenty of other sources that work for you.
Right.
Yeah. You don't particularly need this one, okay. But all the rest of those, I mean, oranges may, depending on your blood sugar, may or may not be for you. But a lot of these other things can be. And I think today I posted on the ERC page, our topic of the month was chocolate. Well, I don't like a lot of the chocolates that are out there because they have soy lecithin in them, and I don't like that. So I found one that's called Pasha, and it's completely 100% dark chocolate. And I melt that down and add stevia to it, and it does not have any soy lecithin in it. So I think that they're a chocolate chip is basically what they are. And then you just melt them down, and I just added hemp seeds and the stevia, and I add a little bit of almond butter, and the hemp seeds and that kind of thing. And I made myself, you know, some chocolate things that don't have any of the other stuff in it. So I think it's important for us to realize those little teeny tiny things that are in things where, oh, well, that doesn't have any sugar, so I can have it because it has stevia, but I'm going to tolerate the soy lecithin. But you, as a person who has had a history, right, you shouldn't deal with soy at all. Even in soy lecithin, you know, I mean, there's very few good, pure sources. So you have to be a little more careful and a little more conscious, you know, of what you're doing.
Right. And then just one other comment, when you were talking earlier, something that came to my mind was, because I used to be a teacher, and I kept thinking when you were talking about kids being, and even my own kids and their teachers, and thinking about the words that they heard for, you know, you can see such a difference in your own kids from one year to the next year, based on who they spent that year with.
Yep.
Somebody was saying, you know, building them up and saying, you know, lots of positive things, you know, that, I mean, they were just, my kids were just more talkative, more open, more, you know, just self-assured, you know, self-confident. And then if they had someone that, you know, wasn't as much like that, then, you know, I just remember my husband and I talking about how much you could tell, you know, when a child, or I can see that still even in grandkids, that you know, they've got somebody that's just really building them up, or you have someone that's kind of tearing you down. So.
Well, we have that positive reinforced correction, right? Positive reinforced correction is so much more healthy than a negative tear you down, and really if a teacher's doing that, or even an adult, it's their own insecurity that creates that. It's not the child, it's their insecurity or something that's happened to them in their lives that actually creates them to do that to others.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing, Jeannie.
Yeah.
So I had a dream last night, and I couldn't decide when I woke up whether it was positive or negative. I decided to treat it as positive. So I dreamed that I was reading, and suddenly I started blinking, and I could read with my right eye every time I blinked. It would last for like a few seconds, and then it was so real, I thought it was for real. And then I started blinking a lot, and I woke up then, of course. So I've decided to treat that as a positive.
I'm going to treat that as a premonition that came to you, and it's what's going to happen for you. So
yeah.
I would take that dream and say, I believe that's what's happening for me.
Gave me goosebumps.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't believe dreams are for nothing. There's always something that's in them for us that, you know, maybe you've had some thoughts of, oh gosh, I hope my eye's going to be okay. I hope I'm going to continue to get well. I don't know. I'm scared or whatever, but I believe that was a really great positive reinforcement of your mind telling your brain, this is what's going to happen for you. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be as positive as I can. I keep working on, I'm doing research and on things, and you know, I saw the doctor. I had another injection on Friday, so I asked this guy about nutritional supplements, herbs, that kind of thing, and he just shook his head. No, it won't do any good on that. It would help your other eye. My other eye's great, fortunately, which I give gratitude every day about. And so I want to protect that as much as I can. So. If it helps the The other eye, fine.
Well, okay, so let me just ask you this. I believe your body is connected. So what he's telling you is that you're taking good things for your good eye. Okay, that's helping that. Why wouldn't it help your other eye?
Right.
I mean, I'd have said it wouldn't hurt.
Yeah.
Nothing ventured, nothing gained.
Yeah. Well, I would, you know, negate his negativity, and I would take what he said was, it's okay to help your good eye. Well, that means it's okay to help my bad one, too.
He did have positive news, because I asked him, you know, are there any statistics in this happening to my good eye? And he said, only in about 10% of the cases. So I thought, well, that's good. That's one of the other thing that was really, I mean, it's bad enough to lose vision in one eye, but, you know, then if this could happen to my other eye, that would really be a bummer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, Diana Palmer, she's on. Are you still on, Diana? Okay. She helped her husband regain sight in one eye. You know, that was related to diabetes with a formula that she makes, a tincture of her own.
Okay. And maybe you could email me what's in that. I've been buying some different tinctures from Hawaii Farm. Mainly they're kind of glaucoma related, macular degeneration related.
Yeah, she's a researcher like none other. Go ahead, Diana.
He's got some of his sight back. He's up to about 45-50%. We've been working on it for a while. In his case, it was the optic nerve that was damaged. And it's very, very difficult to repair nerve tissue. In fact, the doctors will basically tell you it's impossible. It isn't. It isn't. There's all kinds of things. I think one of the things on the food chart she mentioned was for the myelin sheath. Well, that's how the nerve got damaged in the first place, is the myelin sheath got eaten away.
Mm-hmm. And that it's leads to lecithin.
It's like the, yeah. That is the insulation on your wiring. And once that insulation is gone, then that shorts out the wire. Mm-hmm. And that's basically what happened with him, was that the optic nerve kind of lost its myelin sheath. So we've been working on, the biggest problem was he was taking the metformin, and that depletes B12, and B12 is one of the things that really helps with the myelin. So it's in the oranges. Eat your oranges, man. So
okay, B12, that's good to know.
And then what Doreen said about the sunflower lecithin, we're starting to add that to our smoothies now. So, yeah, it's the
I think my problem is more vascular related.
Yeah, but see, everything can be fixed, Jay. It's all about your mindset. What, you know, Drina just said with the DNA SNPs being affected by this. I know that our mental attitude can have a lot of effects, but it never dawned on me that we could actually modify you could SNP your DNA and actually turn these things on and off with your thoughts. Oh, dear God. You know, that's like the hugest revelation I had today. That and all the neat food things. And it's like, there's the secrets. It's all right there. So you keep digging. Don't give up. Everything can
No, I'm not giving up. Not at all.
Yeah, don't ever give up. There's so many things you can do. These coaches are the most educated on the planet. I cannot say enough about this whole program. We are so blessed, every one of us, to be here, no matter what our issues are, because they're going to help us to find the right ones for us. And they're going to keep encouraging us, and they're not going to let us talk down about ourselves. So, cheer up or else.
That's right.
They'll smack us.
Okay. Well, Jay, one thing I want to say, too, is if you go back to that teaching that Cynthia did in our small group about the wet tissue, feeding the wet tissues, she sent you the slides for that. And, okay. You know, all those wet tissue foods, some of which you're already doing, of course, which would be the chia, you know, but all of the apples, baked apples for the apple, the pectin in that, baked cranberries, you know, I mean, there's a lot of information in that wet tissue foods that could be, you know, super helpful for the eye, because the eye is a wet tissue.
Okay.
That would include, of course, flax, ground flax, you know, so...
Yeah, fancy. You mentioned hemp hearts, and I found some on Swanson. It's from Manitoba Farms, I think. But it's kind of it's not a powder. There's just kind of chopped up, and they're really pretty good sprinkling over blueberries. Mm-hmm. Something I recently started doing.
I found some organic ones that in a 2-pound package for like $15 on Amazon.
Okay.
I think they were called Tersol. Tersol. You have to buy two, but, you know, you can put them in the freezer. But hemp hearts are extremely, extremely good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they look like they're pretty high in protein.
And you can make your own hemp milk. You know, all you have to do is just soak those babies and put that in a high-speed blender with some of your purified water that you distill and all of that, and thin that out to the degree that you want, and you'll have a delicious hemp milk that you can add cinnamon and nutmeg, which are also mucilaginous, and have a really, really nice drink. And if you want it to be more like a milkshake, add a little sweet, you know, sweet leaf stevia or whatever to it and have yourself a little milkshake.
Okay.
Yeah, Jay, also you can look at something for endothelium lining, which relaxes the vascular system. So there would be your grapeseed extract and your pycnogenols and vitamin C.
That's right.
So look into that.
Okay, yeah, I've boosted my vitamin C.
Yeah, but specifically vitamin C combined with grapeseed extract. It was done in a Boston University study about relaxing the endothelium lining. Yes. So that may be something that you can look into.
Excellent.
Okay. What was the second one you mentioned?
It's a pycnogenol. So that's all pine bark extract, all in that same grouping.
Oh, pycnogenol. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. My accent.
Yeah, I've been taking that too, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Thanks.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Yeah. And, you know, I loved it when Debbie talked to you about the cupping over your eyes. You know, to create that natural relaxation and healing for your eye and your eyesight. Yeah. You know, that was super, super great suggestion for, you know, for her also.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody else want to chime in on any of their thoughts or things you've done or, you know, anything that this has brought forth for you to... Yeah, go ahead, Kim.
I don't know how to wave my hand unless I'm in the picture. I don't know how to
do it. Unmute yourself.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I guess that's it. Just make noise. Well, I was just I find this to be I loved today because and I actually plan on printing out your slides and pasting them all over my house because this is something that I'm particularly bad at. And what I noticed though, like what I noticed is I almost need to trick myself into thinking positive about myself. I'm really horrible at this. I think it's like a lot of us, I've been sick for a long time and now I'm like trying to figure out how to move out of that space into this space of that I'm no longer this fat, sick, whatever, this disastrous, I'm trying to move. But I noticed today, I went to the gym, and it's really hard for me because I take the classes with all the cute girls, and the teacher was, like, really hot. He had these cool dreadlocks, and he was super beautiful. And I could hear myself, you know, wanting to move more to the back of the class and feeling embarrassed that I was in there because I'm chubby and... But what was interesting is that as the class went going and I started moving my body, the endorphins or whatever it was and the music, I started having fun and I was able to, but I really have to work hard at it. It's really hard for me to turn my brain. It's like a 100-ton truck trying to turn my brain from I'm the fat, sick girl that doesn't belong in this class to I totally belong in this class. I'm super having fun. And everyone belongs in this class and just enjoying it, you know, and just being positive and feeling like if I come to this class like every Monday, I'm going to be so awesome this time next year. But it was really hard. It was forced. But I find that if I'm in the class and moving my body with the music, it's easier for me. Or if I'm out at the beach, I have to force it. If I stay in my house, I'm so bleh. But when I get out to the beach with the dogs, I breathe better and I can force. That's when I'm better at practicing my positive thoughts. But it's very hard, I think, and I have two teenage boys that are very gloomy and teenagery boyish. They're 14 and 17 and they're crabby and they're my question is like additional ideas for almost for turning this 100-ton truck in the right direction. It's very hard. And also my negative thoughts come through me before I even realize that I can even stop them. Does that, they're already happening and I'm just noticing that they're happening. Now maybe that's half the battle, is that today I went, wow, this is really, you know, really crazy. All these thoughts in your head while you're standing here waiting for this class to start. I mean, I saw the teacher come in and I'm like, he is so hot and so cool. I don't belong in here. You know,
that's
like
why I would have stayed.
That's why I stayed. Well, I was like, well, at least just enjoy the hotness. You know, we'll just, it's fine. But but it's almost like the thoughts come in. They're already through me and in me, and the DNA maybe has already changed before I even have a chance to, I don't know how to stop them before they get there. But I mean, I'm working on it and at least I'm aware. So I'm not sure how to advise my teenagers, and I'm not sure even how to help myself, other than I do better when I'm out of my house and I'm physically doing positive things. So there's my only one trick that I know. Mm-hmm. Are there any other ones that you know of?
Well, let me just interject, you know, with a comment that I made in the scientific side of this, was that if you contain and retain that thought for more than 3 days, that's when it becomes the biggest problem. So you have some days to capture this, but if you can capture it in the moment, so let's just
put it in that hour. Yeah,
that's right. I've got all these negative thoughts falling in my head. What in the world? And for you to capture them up and say, you know what, these things are just not true, and I'm going to find something beautiful. And so all you really have to do is take those thoughts and turn them around. So if you're saying, wow, I feel chubby today. No, you know, yesterday I felt tired. Today I feel great. I'm not chubby. I am where I'm at today, but I am getting better. And I'm going to be where I want to be a year from now or 2 years from now or whatever. And I think that it's important just to remember that you just gather them up and bind them up and just say, these are not real and true. And if it takes you going down the street to the beach in order for that to happen, then do it.
Okay, so it's okay that I have the thought as long as I noticed it, realized it, and I tossed him out the door.
That's right.
By the end of the class, I was like, I'm the funnest person in here.
Yeah, that's right.
You're so hot, I'm totally coming back every Monday.
If I can just share something really quick. Those thoughts at one point in time were there. There was a reason, because they're a part of you.
Yeah.
And so, like you said, you observe and go, oh, look at that thought. I wonder where it came from. But I don't need it anymore. And just keep saying, I am well. I am safe. And thank you for however you served me at some point in time. And you're free to go. You can go find the other yoga class.
Almost like talking to the thoughts.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
They come and they're already in my head and I'm like, oh, there they are again. And I wasn't sure how to stop them, you know.
Well, they're there again because it was something that was put there from childhood or whatever.
Yeah.
You have the right, even when they come, to just say, you know what?
Shut up.
I don't believe this and I'm not believing in it and I'm pushing it away. It's not about me.
Well, that's what I did. I mean, I stayed in the class. I'm like, you're here. Cut it out. You're here. And the only way to get out of this is to take this class. The only way you're going to get fit is by doing the work. Mm-hmm. So you're here. And it would look also really weird to just walk out. I mean, you know, yeah. So I just was like, okay, that's interesting. We're staying. But
you're making a decision.
Okay, they come. All right.
Yeah, you just make a new decision.
Yeah, and I did that. Okay, so I did that. Okay, so I didn't that's the thing, is that they're already in my head before I can stop them. I'm hoping that over time, there's just less and less of them.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, okay.
That's what that positive reinforcement does. It more and more and more, you know, cuts them out to where you think less and less of them.
Yeah, I never used to think this way about myself until I was sick for so long. And now they're just all the time in my head. And it's been interesting. At least I'm finally noticing them. But I like Lynn's idea where I'm allowed to say, oh, that's nice. Get out. That's right. So I can almost talk to them. That's a little bit kind of what I did today in class. I was just like, because I kind of panicked. You know, when the teacher walked in, I went, oh, Lord, help me.
There's where that heart math comes in.
And that
breathing comes in.
Okay. You
know, just close your eyes and take a deep breath and go to whatever place it is that's your happy place. And it seems to be the beach, close your eyes and pedal that bike. You know, I mean, you have.
You don't want to close your eyes. I'll send you a picture of this teacher. No, I'm just kidding. Keep your eyes open and breathe. Yeah, no.
There you go. That's right.
It was cute. Okay. Yeah. All right, so it's okay. I feel better knowing it's okay that I have them.
That's right.
I was like, I'm just terrified. This is, why do they keep coming? You know.
Because it's been reinforced in your life and you've allowed some of the reinforcement at times. So now right? Now you're going to change that and tell them to get out.
All right. I can do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anybody else have a comment?
Diana.
Yeah. I even wrote myself a note in the chat so I wouldn't forget what it was. This has been a great conversation. Absolutely. I love you, Kimberly. You just, that was such a wonderful thing to do and say. I feel so much like that. I was in the doctor's office the other day. And I had a similar kind of a reaction. I was talking to myself with very similar phrases, only the doctor wasn't hot.
Yeah.
I was just terrified. So anyway, I was kind of relating, but I really wanted to ask about the fish. You said the cold water, deep cold water. I'm used to people talking as in cold water or fresh water versus salt water fish. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a little confused because either one could be deep, cold water. So it does. Could you give us a little clarification on that?
Well, I can tell you, you know, the mountain lakes that have the beautiful mountain trout here in Colorado, those fish are amazing, right?
That's what I was thinking.
That's right. So that's going to be a cold water fish.
Okay.
It doesn't matter whether it's fresh, you know, fresh water as far as in a lake, just as long as it's not farm raised.
Right. Oh, I wouldn't touch that stuff. But there's some of the Atlantic salmon. Those have got to be considered cold, deep water. The cod, the salmon, the I'm thinking North Atlantic, not Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
Colder water. Would that work also?
You're just going to want to make sure that, you know, they're in regions that don't have a lot of the metal contamination and things like that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Radiation.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. So it is more of the cold, deeper waters rather than the returning salmon that are coming up in the warm creeks.
Right. I feel like our kokanee salmon, you know, in Colorado, that fish is extremely good, you know, and yet, you know, they're not exposed to a lot of the junk because the water that they're in is coming right off the mountain. Mm-hmm. You know, but I do believe you've got to research where your fish is coming from.
Right. Well, we've got the Salmon River here, and so we've got salmon coming up from, but they're coming up from the Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time they get here, they are tough and they don't taste good. And the steelhead are like, spit them out. They're like terrible.
Mm.
So, I mean, that's part of the thing is that just we lost our taste for the fish.
Yeah.
The little local rainbows are a different story. You know, the ones that are just, you know, a little stream guys that have never been to the ocean, but some of those bigger fish that everybody goes after to fish for, they just really have lost their flavor, and I don't even want to eat them anymore. So
yeah, you know, I like that smash rule, right? The ones that are the least mercury. So smash rule being, you know, salmon, mackerel, anchovies, sardines, and herring,
right?
Or is it haddock? I can't remember whether it's haddock or herring.
Yeah.
But it, you know, I kind of go by that rule when I'm eating fish.
Yeah, the longer they've been out there in the ocean soaking up mercury, the less you want to eat them. So the smaller ones that just, you know, are local little brook trout and stuff like that, they're fine.
Mm-hmm.
And the little perch out of the reservoirs.
All right.
And they haven't been around long enough to, you know, soak up anything.
Right.
Okay. I just want a little clarification. Like I said, usually you hear salt water or fresh water, so.
Well, and you know, if you can't find, you know, anything that's really good and clean, then you take your cleanest algae, right? Your raw phytoplankton from people like Activation Products, and you know, your algae oil from Nordic Naturals and some other, I think there's some other good algae oils. Lynn, you've got one that you really like. What's the one you really like that's the algae?
I just heard it. It's like algae one. No, that's not it. I can't remember.
You'll think of it.
Just as you said it, I saw the name go through my brain, and then it left. it'll come to me.
Okay. All right. I really like Activation Products, raw phytoplankton.
I think that's the one it is. That sounds, yeah.
Super pure, super clean, lots of minerals. You know, lots about oil, EFAs, just super. About 17 drops a day, I think, is what their recommendation is to get a, you know, really good amount of minerals and such. So.
Well, that's it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're
welcome. Very, very informative and fun.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for coming. Anybody else? Comment, question? Addition? Nobody? Okay. Well, Miss Lynn?
All right. I was going to suggest that if you haven't already, or if you've done it and just want to repeat it, go to the Transforming Stress System and sign up for Dr. Rita Marie's every day for 30 days. You'll get appreciation video or audio, and they're maybe 3 minutes, and just play that every day, just to get you going, or as a reminder. You can actually go in, and if you know there are certain ones that you like, you can actually go in and just play those if that's something you need. So that's just a thought.
I forgot about those. That's perfect. That's an additional tool other than the class with the hot guy in the beach. I forgot about those. I was meaning to restart them. Yeah. You got any other ideas? This guy only teaches Mondays. I need help. Yeah. Okay. All right.
If you're looking for exercise, I actually, and because I don't have gyms or anything nearby, and I just listened to the free videos. I didn't actually buy the whole thing, but it's called Body Groove, and it's dancing, but it's not like Richard Simmons or Sweat Studio.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, no. But
he was fun.
Well, some of it was. But I mean, this woman, you know, she gets into dancing, and it's like she rolled up her carpet and has people of all shapes, sizes, genders, the whole bit in there. And they're doing it. Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, so you see, and she talks about these messages in your brain while she's doing it. So.
Yeah. I'll be okay. I just need to get them. As soon as I start moving, I'm fine.
I like Luma Well too on YouTube.
You were telling me about that, right?
LUMOWELL, Luma Well. They have got so many computer generated videos that, you know, show you all kinds of different kinds of exercises, anywhere from 5 minutes to 45 minutes. And if you cannot do what the one's doing, they give you the, here, if you can't do that, then do this.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a super good one for home, you know, for when you're home. I mean, your dogs would probably be jumping around with you.
They try to attack us. They think it's a game.
Yeah.
That's why I leave and go to the gym. But yeah. I like being out of the house because I've been in the house for 7 years. So, so I have a real fancy gym, and there's lots of cute, fun, happy teachers in classes, but I noticed this morning that I had like a panic attack.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I just didn't like it when this particular teacher walked in and I couldn't understand why all the girls were really young and pretty and they all had makeup on. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with this class? Like, normally it's kind of a normal mix of people. And then I was walked in and I'm like, what's up with the beauty pageant? What's going on? And then he walked in and I went, oh, I mean, some of these women clearly left work and put like, or had, like they had makeup on. And I understood, I was like, oh, now I understand. Next time I'll wear makeup too. But it's really cute. So I just noticed this morning, though, the negative talk in my head, and I thought it was kind of perfect, Drina, that you did this today, because I was like, what the heck's going on? I also noticed I was able to kind of push it away and move forward, and I left feeling great, but I thought, how do I even stop these from even starting? Because they were so strong, I almost walked out, and I just, which I didn't, but I was like, this is nutty. The hell's going on? But it was just a little bit of a weird morning. We don't normally have like movie star teachers and women with makeup on but it was adorable. Actually, the whole thing was pretty funny. Yeah, and cute.
Well, remember while you're listening to your appreciation audio with Dr. Rita Marie's appreciation, you can have your cup of Ticino.
Yeah. Yes, I will. Yeah. It was perfect that we had this today, just because I noticed it and I went, what is all this? What's going on? You know. Yeah.
Well, there's always the perfect timing for all things.
Yeah, there was a lot of weirdness this morning. So, but I'm, I'm all right. I'll make it.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks everybody for coming. Anybody want to make a final comment or anything like that before we close?
Have a great day.
Yeah.
Jay, you also.
Jeannie says daily mantras are good too. Yeah. And you can post them on your mirror.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Stick stuff up on my mirror. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Just to remind me.
Yeah.
I forget.
Even if it's a single word that jogs other good words.
Yeah. Oh, the word of the day. Yeah, you were having us do that for a while. I think we forgot.
I remind you all the time, your word for the day.
Yeah.
Everyone has a word for the day. You need to choose it. It goes in your journal, and you expand on it. That's right.
All right.
Yeah. You know, and if you're going to be in your car, take those little sticky notes and put them on your car. Okay. So as you're going to the gym, you sit in the car.
Yeah. Okay.
In my house.
Yep, that's right.
All shapes and sizes and colors.
Hey, Diana, don't worry about the box. That's okay.
Yeah, that's what I do to learn foreign languages.
Okay.
And when I'm wanting to learn foreign languages and wherever I'm going, I stick the notes on whatever the stove or the refrigerator. Right. Or the whatever, this is what this is, you know, and that's how I learn foreign languages.
Well, this is like a foreign language to me. Learning how to speak to myself positively is very foreign to me. I noticed it this morning and I thought, what the heck is going on in my skull right now? So it is like a foreign language for some people. So I'll just, that's a good idea. I'll stick sticky notes all over.
My husband hates them, but I love them. I survive.
Okay. I even have a sticky note. Anyway, Dennis.
He had a quick nap. He fell asleep.
There you go.
After we called him grumpy.
It's all good.
It also.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for doing this.
Yeah, I might re-listen to this one because this is a tough area for me. So thank you.
All of us. All of us.
Yeah.
You're listening.
All right. Goodbye, all.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Have a lovely day. Lovely people. Have a lovely day.
Lovely.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye.